Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The elderly frequently have savings and other assets, and they also have trusting nature that makes them a perfect victim for scammers. It's a multi-billion dollar problem, and it's getting worse. Can an elderly abuse task force here in Bexar County save people from being ripped off or even worse? You can call in with your questions and comments as we talk about the problem of elder abuse, financial abuse of the elderly. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us with at the source at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this hour by Senator Jose Menendez. He's a state senator for District 26, and he's the task force co-creator. And Senator Menendez, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, thank you very much. It's always good to be here with you and your listeners.
And Judge Veronica Vasquez is with us. She is the Bexar County Probate Court number two judge, task force co-creator. And Judge Vasquez, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Lisa Brown is a regional attorney in the Adult Protective Services Division of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Lisa Brown, good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us, Sandy Sullivan, Senior Vice President of Fraud Management at Frost Bank. Sandy Sullivan, good to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much for allowing us to bring this important message to the public.
There's a lot to talk about with this one particular topic about elderly financial abuse and other abuse of our elderly community here in Bexar County. But I do want to start off by going to Judge Vasquez. If you could tell me about, as the probate court judge, a lot of people aren't really clear what that does, but you are kind of right in the middle. You're the goalkeeper of this type of situation. Tell us about your job and what you see.
So the probate courts, we have statutory probate courts here in Bexar County. We have two of them. A lot of what we're tasked with was not only the probating of wills and estates and other matters, but we also see emergency removals of elderly individuals that come from adult protective services. Let's just say, for instance, someone were to call and say, you know, I have a neighbor that's being exploited or abused, or perhaps my mom is by my sister or brother, whatever it may be, or they're being abused. A lot of times adult protective services will come to the probate court in order to remove these individuals on an emergency basis from their situation. And so we see a lot of this. Unfortunately, we see it on a daily basis, not just with adult protective services, but we also handle guardianships, adult guardianships. So typically you see a family member that comes and applies for guardianship of their loved one. We see a lot of children that come and apply for guardianships of their parents with Alzheimer's or dementias are starting to exhibit those signs. Those people are often very vulnerable to exploitation and abuse because people start to see that around them that they're forgetting things, that they grandma will write a check and forget that she wrote it, or grandma might sign that check that, you know, grandchild had wrote out to themselves and not recall them doing that. So we see a lot of financial and exploitation of the senior citizens within the probate court. The way that the task force came together was I was seeing a lot of these cases, and they are heart-wrenching, horrible cases that we see on a daily basis. You know, people ask sometimes how I can see this every day, and my thought is I'm there to try to make a difference and try to make it better for these individuals. But I would often ask, so the way that Adult Protective Services is, they do get a phone call and someone says, you know, mom is being abused or exploited or neglected, whatever it may be, they open up an investigation, much like Child Protective Services does, but these are for adults. So they open up an investigation, they do their investigation, and once they investigate, and let's just say they find out, yes, this person is in fact being exploited, yes, this person is in fact being abused, that's what's called validated. They validate that claim of exploitation, abuse, neglect, whatever it may be. They build their case, and then they send it over to law enforcement. So that would be SAPD or Bexar County Sheriff's Office, and from that point, the Bexar County Sheriff's Office or SAPD would then work up that case and forward it to the district attorney's office. So what we're oftentimes seeing is that on the back end, they didn't seem to be prosecuted. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, because everybody here since we've started the task force has done a tremendous job. But my concern was, what are the consequences for these perpetrators if they are not being fully prosecuted?
Senator Menendez, you came into the studio and you had a stack of papers with you. Tell me about what you got there.
So we have complaints about contractors who've scammed people out of money, medical insurance, insurance scams, places they've rented and they thought that they were going to get certain services they were told and they don't. Then, you know, it's interesting you were talking about the power of attorney. Here's a complaint from a sibling who had put mom and dad into a facility, an assisted, and not allowed anyone else to visit them, and they have power of attorney. And so you have many ways to
really— These are all from constituents?
All constituents. This whole stack right here is all constituents. And, you know, we do have almost a million people who live in Senate District 26, so I'm glad it's not as big as I think it could be. But the sad thing is that only one in four, statistically, one in four cases of elder fraud or abuse are reported.
And but this shows you there's a the magnitude and the variety of the situation that you have. Yeah. As when we have elderly people, they have assets, they may have some property, they may have some savings, but they're also isolated, they're lonely, they are having maybe a declining cognitive function, they don't really understand the financial situation. As someone who tries to come on to them as a to build their trust can suddenly, they could get a blank check to do all sorts of nefarious things. And sometimes that is a family member. Frequently, that is a family member. Sandy Sullivan over at Frost Bank, you're the vice president of fraud management. And I understand y'all are training your staff to look out for these types of things.
Absolutely, we do. So we started this a long time ago before it got so prevalent within the community. But we train our frontline staff, whether it's our telephone customer service people, our personal bankers, or our tellers, to look for red flags, things that, you know, become obvious that it might be elder fraud. So maybe a family member comes in with an elderly customer of ours, does all the talking, won't let us talk to the individual, hands a note to our elderly person suggesting to them that they need to go ahead and do a particular type of withdrawal. Maybe they call into telephone customer service and our customer is talking to the customer service person and we can hear screaming in the back, somebody telling them exactly what they need to do. Hurry up, get this done. Remember, you need to get the transaction taken care of. I want my money today. So there's a lot of things, you know, going on there. So we're educating across all lines of business. Banks are actually called first responders, just like law enforcement and the fire department, because we see up close and personal things going on with our customers individually. So it's very important for us to train everybody to understand what it looks like. We have a lot of young people that think somebody in their 40s is older. So it's kind of, you know, retraining them to think about what is older, what does it mean to lose capacity. A lot of customers may come in and be very well dressed, make comments about their kids. I'm getting ready to go to lunch with all my friends. But as you look at their finances, when they come in, you notice that something's not right.
Right. And so when we come back from this break, we can talk about how family members can also become part of that first response. They want to be able to protect their older family members, their fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers from being financially exploited. Because frequently, it's not just limited to their finances. This can lead to actual physical abuse as well. We're taking a break. We're going to open the phone lines. You can call in. Tell us what you have seen in your own life. You can be anonymous. And tell us how it ended. We want to hear your stories so we can figure out what kind of code changes, what kind of code enforcement, what kind of laws need to be changed in order to protect our community. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. And we're talking about elder abuse. We have a task force that's being formed here in Bexar County looking to protect our elderly community from financial abuse, but also physical abuse. And let me bring into the conversation Lisa Brown. She's a regional attorney and the Adult Protective Services Division of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. And Lisa Brown, tell us about the role of the state in this and what you see.
All right, so Adult Protective Services receives reports of alleged abuse, neglect, and exploitation of elderly individuals and individuals with disabilities. Texas is a mandatory reporting state, so anyone who sees or suspects these suspected abuse and neglect should call and report that in. That phone number is 1-800-252-5400. Upon receiving those allegations, an APS specialist will go out to investigate whether or not the abuse, neglect, or exploitation is occurring. And if it is, we attempt to put in services to reduce the risk of future harm to that individual. And in addition to investigating allegations against alleged perpetrators, we do also investigate allegations of self-neglect. So individuals who are perhaps needing a little bit more care in their home, some assistance with providers or transportation or money management.
So if an individual has a home health care provider and if that health care provider is suddenly become very involved in that individual's life and maybe even not taking care of them very well, and do they get reported to you or how does that work?
Those actually get reported to Health and Human Services Commission. If you call our hotline number, we can direct you to the appropriate agency, unless that is a private paid provider, in which case APS will investigate.
So we have many individuals. We have an aging community, people who are alone. They're isolated. Frequently, they're depressed, and they are dependent on others for helping take care of them. And that makes them extremely vulnerable for being exploited, and whether financially or even physically, neglected. So with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, the view of that is that these individuals deserve better, right?
Right. And the goal of Adult Protective Services is to work cooperatively with our clients to make sure that they're getting what they want. Sometimes I think that there's a perception that APS is just going to snatch, our elderly out of their home and put them in nursing homes. And that is not at all our goal. Our goal is to provide our vulnerable adults with the services they need to stay in their homes if that is their wish. And we do always attempt the least restrictive alternative possible to get that individual the care they need.
I understand, Senator Menendez, that that's one reason why many people who are victimized are reluctant to report that they have been victimized because they don't want any remaining independence that they have taken away from them.
That's a huge issue along the lines that unfortunately the majority of these, I call them crimes because I believe that they are conducted by people that are close to them. Either family members or people that are neighbors or someone that they've trusted, someone that's been allowed to be close to them. And just, they just start maybe with something small and then they end up taking advantage. And I think that's the other reason why only 1 in 14 of these crimes are actually reported to any authorities.
So I'm interested, Sandy Sullivan at Frost Bank, how a family member, like I'm trying to be protective of my mom or my dad and they're getting on in years, but we do have some people in my family that are having some issues and they're asking for money. Is there a way that I can monitor my adult parents' bank accounts and without being intrusive, or how does that work?
Well, sometimes it's hard because parents don't want their children to be involved in their finances. It's, it's their business and they can take care of it. But children can, sit down with their parents and let them know that, there's a lot of crime going on. They just want to be helpful, help them out. Let me, help you look at your finances. Sometimes, the bad guys are doing things and maybe you don't notice it on your bank statement, whatever. Gives you the opportunity to look over, their bank statement and kind of figure out what's going on. Sitting your parent down with, an attorney and having the parents talk to the attorney about a possible power of attorney, picking the right child or family member or, individual that they trust and feel that will, take care of them. It's not always the case that happens. Sometimes they pick the wrong individual, to help them out. But I think it's just paying attention to your parents. So I think a lot of times, you know, we're far-reaching these days. Our parents don't necessarily live in the same town that we do. Talking to them on the telephone, you may think that everything, you know, is fine and dandy, but not necessarily so. So if you ever have the opportunity to come into town and sit with your parents and talk to them, you know, they may be able to tell you all the things that they did during the day, but maybe their finances have, you know, gone in the dumpster. They're not paying attention to things. They're not paying the bills that they need to. So I think it's just sitting down with your parents and having a good talk. You know, nobody wants to talk about death and or, you know, what they, you know, what happens after you, you know, when you die and figure all those things out. The same thing goes with, you know, finances. What's going to happen when I can't take care of myself any longer?
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about elderly abuse here in San Antonio. We're talking, and they're building a elderly abuse task force to try to protect this vulnerable community. And Jeremy is on the line. Jeremy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. One of the things that I wanted to mention and ask the experts about was oftentimes a large percentage of elder fraud is actually committed by family members or like a grandson or granddaughter or a great niece, great nephew. And how do you protect against that?
All right, Jeremy, thank you for that. So let me go to Judge Veronica Vasquez, Bexar County Probate Court number 2, and you are a co-creator of this task force, and you probably see this quite often.
We do.
Boy, I bet, you know, this is where families are really kind of, you see them coming apart at the seams and these types of things.
Right. One of the things that you can do with the probate court, there's a form on the probate court's website, which is an 1102 form. Any individual can fill that form out. Let's just say you have a neighbor or a family member. It is your mom or your aunt or whoever it may be, and you feel that they're being exploited and they are incapacitated or you're starting to see signs of dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever it may be, you can alert the court. This form will alert the court. We're required to send somebody out to appoint someone. Typically, we appoint an attorney that will go out and see whether or not these allegations are founded. That would be a guardian ad litem that's appointed. The guardian ad litem will then come back to court and say, in fact, Mrs. Smith does need a guardian. And at that point, they will assist in getting the guardianship process going. We do see in the probate courts, we see a lot of this. We see it not just with family members, but also sometimes neighbors, you know, preying on someone that may be lonely. So what will happen is a guardian will be appointed, either a private professional guardian, or we always try to find family members first. But if the family member is the perpetrator, our goal at the probate court is to protect these individuals and whatever assets that they may have left. So that's one of the options. But you always want to call Adult Protective Services first. If you feel, and that's a question that I will ask of the children if they're in court, did you alert Adult Protective Services? If they have not, we're required to do so by law. So we do as well. They then get the investigation part going, and they can also reach out to SAPD, the Bexar County Sheriff's Office, directly to file a complaint.
When it is a family member, that's when the victim is less likely to call the police and try to get law enforcement involved. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have to send a niece or nephew to jail, particularly if they've already have other problems with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, how do you deal with this if you don't want to bring in law enforcement, Senator Menendez?
Well, I think that it may be a wake-up call. If you have a family member that is so desperate to take advantage of a loved one, maybe they're dealing with a drug addiction problem. Maybe they have other issues that are causing them to do that. Because we had a case where a brother was very concerned that his niece was taking advantage of his sister. The sister had started to slip in some ways, and the niece has a drug addiction problem, and he's trying to step in. But unfortunately, there was a power of attorney situation there that gave her the authority to do that. At that point, that's why we filed legislation to try to hold people, even if they have a power of attorney, hold them responsible for any crimes, because we've had cases where someone's been put in an assisted living or a nursing home, but the person with the power of attorney has just spent all of their resources, and now that person's looking to be out on the street. And the good news, if there is any good news, is that as the judge and I were calling people to join the task force, everyone has said yes. Everyone has stepped up and said, we want to be a part of this, whether it's the DA's office or the sheriff, SAPD. I mean, really, I don't think we've had anybody say, no, we don't want to help. And so we as a community need to step up. And just like when we say about crime against a child, if you see something, say something, it should be the same thing for elderly. If you see something, you need to say something.
Sandy Sullivan, Senior Vice President, Fraud Management, Frost Bank.
One of the things I can point out to family members that you can do as well is alert the financial institution where your loved one banks. Talk to somebody in the fraud department. We're called different things. Sometimes it's loss prevention, fraud management, risk management, whatever. But find out who handles the fraud for the bank. Get in touch with them and let them know your concerns. So if we start an investigation, we start looking at it, we see that something might be going on, we might be able to go ahead and place a hold on the account. We'll ask that individual, have you talked to Adult Protective Services yet? Have you filed a report? If they haven't, now we're put on notice, and the requirement is for us to notify them as well. So it'll help protect whatever assets might be left there. Not all financial institutions, you know, have the same resources, what have you, but for the most part, every one of us will stop what we're doing. We're going to look into the case, try to determine what we might be able to do to save those resources.
So how long of a hold can you put on a transaction and get it verified? What does that look like if someone walks into the lobby of the Frost Bank and they say, I've got this check for cash written on this account, you know this is not that individual, it looks suspicious, what do you do?
Just because somebody walks into the bank and wants to cash a check doesn't mean that we have to. So if we have suspicions about that check and we're unable to get a hold of our customer, we're going to tell that individual we're not going to be able to cash it until we get a hold of the owner of the account. If we get a hold of the owner of the account, they don't remember doing it, of course, you know, we'll put instructions out on there not to cash any checks for this individual until we can get APS involved, until we can get our customer in to talk to us. They can't come in to talk to us. A lot of times we go out and physically visit with our customer at their home.
Lisa Brown, is that sometimes you're with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services? Is that what happens? How this can lead to physical abuse when the person who's trying to exploit the elderly individual is saying, you need to write me these checks, and sometimes they will withhold medicine, they'll withhold food, they'll do things in order to motivate the person to comply.
Absolutely. Most of the cases that we investigate have some kind of financial underlying element to them. It's either an issue where the elderly person can't afford things, where a family member is attempting to use the resources of the elderly person so that they're unable to provide for their own needs, or, you know, like you say, a perpetrator can use withholding medical and physical needs as a method of attempting to persuade the elderly individual to give them those funds.
What kind of crime is that to do something like that?
It could be anything from theft, exploitation of an elderly person.
But abuse for an elderly person, it's like child abuse except for an adult.
Right. It is, elevated criminal offense if it's an elderly person or a person with a disability.
And I could call the PD, I could call 911.
Yes, you can call both Adult Protective Services and law enforcement because we investigate different things. Adult Protective Services is investigating under the Texas Human Resources Code, and then the local law enforcement will investigate under the penal code.
And could I just ask for a health and safety check on someone that I think is possibly being abused? Because frequently these abusers, are they trying to hold that individual in isolation where no one can go see what's going on?
Yes, that's one of the forms of abuse we see is that social isolation, the caregiver, the abuser, attempting to isolate the individual from their family members or friends.
So we're getting ready to go to break. The number is 210-614-8980. But I do want to emphasize that point, that if I suspect a individual who is being held in isolation, maybe being abused by someone trying to exploit them, I can ask the police to do a health and safety check on that individual, and we can maybe get the ball rolling on finding out what is really going on. Again, the number is 210-614-8980, and this source continues right after this.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and Delaritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the school for deaf children. March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about elder abuse here in Bexar County. There is now an elder abuse task force that is being assembled. It's like Avengers assemble. These are to protect our elderly population here in San Antonio. We're joined by Senator Jose Menendez, Judge Veronica Vasquez with Bexar County Probate Court No. 2. Lisa Brown is with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. And Sandy Sullivan is the Senior Vice President of Fraud Management at Frost Bank. I want to read an email I got from Gabriela. Last year, my grandmother called me and told me that someone had called her asking for bail money. He said he was a lawyer for my brother who had been the cause of a car accident and killed a pregnant woman in Phoenix. They provided her a case number and even had someone who pretended to be my brother. I called my brother who was not in jail in Phoenix, and it grosses me out that someone could pretend to be my brother to get money out of my grandmother and that they knew that his name and his relationship with her. I'm glad my grandmother called me before she took action. And this is an example of how sophisticated some of these scams can be, trying to exploit and trying to take money from a very vulnerable population, not to mention the emotional trauma that people go through when they hear these types of stories. Judge Veronica Vasquez at Probate Court Number 2, if you could talk about, like, I mean, how can we protect anyone against something like that?
It's very difficult. I think the financial institutions, we're working with different law enforcement agencies. We see all sorts of crimes against the elderly. You have people that are calling over the phone. You have Facebook scams now. You have over emails. They're very sophisticated perpetrators. I think probably Sandy Sullivan would be the best person to talk about with this. Like, how do the banks get notified of these romance scams, et cetera, et cetera?
Right. Sandy Sullivan is Senior Vice President at Fraud Management at Frost Bank. And it's never been easier to drain someone's bank account now, it seemed like, than before, because all you really need is a little bit of information about them. And suddenly, you know, you have access to their entire financial services, right?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, our seniors grew up in an era where they trusted everybody. Handshake meant everything. Your word was gospel. And so one of the things I do is I go across the state and I educate people in all areas about fraud and what to do. And when I'm talking to a group of seniors, I'm telling them, rather than picking up the phone every time it rings, let it go to voicemail. Listen to the voicemail after the person hangs up, and if it's somebody you need to call back, you can. Also, if it's somebody you don't know and they're telling you you got to do something and they told you a story like this woman's grandmother was told, is get somebody else in the boat with you. Call a family member. The first thing she should have done is pick up the phone and call her grandson to verify where he was, what happened. But, you know, unfortunately, the bad guys are very good at what they do. And this particular scam is called a grandparent scam. And it's nicknamed a granny scam because they know grandmothers are very territorial about their babies and their babies' babies. Mm-hmm. And so they're very good targets. So again, hanging up the phone or when somebody calls and you don't know them and they're trying to tell you you've got to do something, got to do it now, or just letting the phone call go to voicemail is the best thing and listen to it later. Get somebody to listen to the voicemail with you if you have some real concerns, but mainly is to verify who you're talking to. Unfortunately, here in San Antonio, Bexar County, we're no longer just citizens of this area. We're citizens of the entire world, so anybody can reach out and touch us. So it's just re-educating our seniors about what life is like now in the internet world.
There seems to be also a grooming process that goes on with some potential victims. They may start out with just calling an individual and saying you won something, and they'll actually send them a gift showing that you won this gift. And then next thing you tell them, you've won this other gift, but now you have to send us money in exchange. In order to claim your $250,000, you have to send us $10,000. Right. And it's a grooming process that happens to get individuals to get the big score. And when we have family members who are in isolation, they don't really tell their children who are maybe they're living far away, they don't have that much communication. So I hate to say it, but call mom, talk to her, see what's going on in her life, and try. And when you hear about these grooming things, try to intervene. Is that something that people can do, Sandy?
Absolutely. So, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, my mom lived in the same town I did, but I called her every single day just to check on her. She and my dad grew up in an orphanage, and so, you know, she was kind of on her own. So every day I called her. So same thing with kids. Just because your mom sounded good yesterday, you know, maybe something's going on. Ask her how things are. Get in deep conversations. But the bad guys are very good at what they do. They do groom individuals. They ingratiate themselves into them. How are you? Oh, you sound like such a wonderful person. You have grandchildren. I bet you have grandchildren because you have that kind of grandmother voice and kind of draws them into it. But, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. And so we need to re-educate our seniors to understand, you know, it's not the same world it was back in the 40s and the 50s. Things have changed.
Go to another caller, Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to make a comment that sometimes these perpetrators will hang out at the Dollar Generals or the Big Lots where a lot of elderly like to go get discount items. And my mother was almost a victim of a pigeon drop where the perpetrators asked her for $500. And she actually drove around in the car with them in her car, went to the bank. The bank teller was wise enough to think that there was something suspicious, gave her a cashier's check for $500. And when she came back out, of course, the perpetrators wanted cash. They didn't want a paper trail and couldn't do anything with it. So thank goodness that bank teller was on the ball, recognized there was something suspicious, and she did her job.
All right, Sharon, thank you for that. I'm going to read an email we have from Lydia. I wanted to share an experience with my elderly parents. Mom is 76 and dad is 70. My brother was collecting mortgage from them when the house had already been paid off. I had to go to the records office and get the paperwork to prove it. So it shows you that there is so many types of variations that can happen in this area. Senator Jose Menendez, what kind of resources do we have to protect this community?
Well, I think first and foremost, we're blessed that our police department has a detective that's assigned to this. We're trying to expand the size of that
department. Yeah, it seemed like one detective may not be enough to cover everything that we're hearing about.
Without a doubt. And in talking also to the Bexar County Sheriff, Javier Salazar, they're also looking to see what they can do to apply some resources. And our DA has agreed, Joe Gonzalez has agreed to try to work with us to expand the number of prosecutors on this. You know, at the end of the day, we have to work together as a team, and that's why I'm so appreciative of Judge Vasquez and the work that she's done to bring such a big group together. And, you know, we've got people from all over, including city council offices, that have decided to come and join us at the table with AARP and people in the medical community and many financial institutions. And so we just have to come together and figure out how can we best help people. And one of the things is that we have to get the word out that it's okay to say something. Don't be embarrassed. This doesn't mean if someone tried to take advantage or took advantage of you, doesn't mean that you're dumb or doesn't mean that you're naive. It means that it happens. It can happen to any of us. And you just happen to have someone take advantage, and you need to report it so that we can stop that person from hurting someone else.
And Lisa Brown with the State of Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, are we keeping track of this? Is there a data about how severe this is?
Yes, it's a huge problem here in Bexar County. Although we're, as far as intakes, Bexar County is second only to Harris County.
But in sheer numbers?
In sheer numbers, we have 250,000 people that are over the age of 65 here in Bexar County. The number of people that are vulnerable is massive. It's 12.3% of our population. And on top of that, we have 150,000 individuals with disabilities that live in the county.
It's just that's an overwhelming amount. One detective, you know, I'm sure the district attorney's office is very also. There's just not enough to go around, and this is not a population that really has a strong voice to demand protection. So, Judge Vasquez, are you? I mean, you're that voice, aren't you?
Yeah, I just got again, seeing these cases are heart-wrenching, and it's frustrating to see them day in and day out. And so I got with the senator because I was seeing Adult Protective Services case, and the senator was also saying that he was hearing from his constituents the same issues over and over and over again. So we wanted to bring everybody to the table and try to close all the loopholes. And we have made tremendous progress. There's still a lot of progress to go. One of them, the senator mentioned, just the amount of resources that we need, because we know in this county we have an aging population. We have the highest percentage of seniors in the entire state in Bexar County. So it's 12% of our population, which is even more than Harris County, Tarrant County, any other county in the state. So it's a wonderful place to live and a wonderful place to retire, but we need to protect our seniors. They're just growing larger and larger, and so there's going to be more rampant abuse.
And is this population, could they be, you know, educated in a way to be more, I don't know, cautious? Is that something that needs to happen?
Well, thank you for allowing us to be here, because this was one of our goals, is to get on this program to be able to spread the word. One of the things that we've talked about is the lack of education out there in the community. One, that they don't know that there's mandatory reporting requirements, that they're mandated to report these crimes if they suspect or they believe that this type of crime is happening to Adult Protective Services. But also just the individuals themselves knowing who they can reach out to. That's a huge problem with educating the public. So that's what we're here to do, and hopefully we can continue this movement of getting more and more of the word out there for these individuals.
All right. People need to look out for all sorts of scams, you know, gold scams, everything's happening. A lot of hard sells we get online, phishing scams. It's very sophisticated these days. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a fraud targeting older adults? Your story could keep it from happening from someone else. You can be anonymous. You can call in, tell us what has happened. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. All right, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're talking about elder abuse here in Bexar County. A lot of Bexar County financial elder abuse cases. There's misleading cable TV contracts, bait and switch bank loans, mortgage lender fraud, plumbing, roofing, service contract scams, deceptive professional service practices. We have people dressing up as workers for CPS and saws and knocking doors in neighborhoods, trying to get into people's homes so they can get financial information from them and then rip them off. We also have caregivers abuse. Sometimes they may help themselves. If they haven't had a criminal background check, they may help themselves to some of the jewelry and things lying around the house. How do we prevent that? How do we protect our loved ones, particularly as they get older? They're dependent on others, and so we have to step and provide care. And we got to do it sooner rather than later. It's like a living will. Don't wait until it's too late. Now is the time when you can have a rational, intelligent conversation about these issues and assign trust. Who do you trust? Who will the family trust? Get the entire family into the conversation. And what are the expectations? Because you don't want people pointing fingers later, and they can tear a family apart. So if you got a question or comment, we really want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. Celeste is on the line. Celeste, hi. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. My father was diagnosed with cancer, and his wife, who was my age, she socially isolated him from us, and she didn't take him to his doctor's appointment. He became very, very ill. She then took all the money from his bank account, and she exploited him. We made reports. And we tried to do something for my father, but unfortunately, he passed away, and we weren't able to take away custody or anything. It was very heart-wrenching that my father had to pass away that way.
Celeste, I'm so sorry for that. That's a terrible story, but thank you for calling in and sharing, because I'm sure other people have gone through something very similar to that. Let me go to Judge Veronica Vasquez. She's a probate court judge number two. And is there anything that can be done in situations like that?
Yes. What people are often unclear about is they think that, you know, let's just say it's brother that's taking advantage of mother, and brother's the agent on the power of attorney. Once sister finds out, they can go forward and apply for a guardianship over their mother. Once that guardianship is actually established, and let's say that sister qualifies and she becomes the guardian of mother, the power of attorney are totally extinguished. So those power of attorneys do not continue. His agent authority doesn't continue to exist. So if you see a situation like that, the first thing that I would recommend is call Adult Protective Services, but also talk to an attorney. There are local resources. A lot of times people don't have an attorney to talk to, especially in the community that we live in, that they might be expensive. There are local resources. You can reach out to Catholic Charities. They provide attorneys that help with guardianship matters. You can also reach out to the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. There are several other nonprofit organizations, in addition to a private attorney, to help establish a guardianship and remove that person from that situation.
And this is a situation where it wasn't just about money. It was also about the health of
right.
the father.
Yes.
And so we have to think about this like we're not just quibbling over dollars, which, mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes there's a lot of dollars at stake and there's property at stake, a lot of it. But we're really focusing on the health and well-being and the happiness and the state of being and mind for these individuals. Let me go to Lisa Brown from the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services.
You're right. It's absolutely so devastating to these families and to the individuals who are affected. There's studies that have found that older adults who study abuse actually have a threefold increase in all-cause mortality compared to non-abused cohorts, even when they control for social demographics, health-related conditions, finances, that kind of thing. This abuse is just very devastating. And that's so it's so vital that if anyone in the community sees anything, they should speak up. You don't have to be sure that what's going on. If you just have that red flag going up, want somebody to look in and see what's going on, please call Adult Protective Services, and we can go out and see if everything's fine or if there's some kind of intervention is needed.
All right, and Sandy Sullivan from Frost Bank.
Also, I go back to the point, get your bank involved. So whatever bank your dad banked with, you know, if we get put on notice of what's going on, we're going to investigate. Again, if you haven't filed something with APS, then we can go ahead and do that. But even if you have filed with APS, then the bank will join in with APS, give them information that they need to advance the report quicker to get them the information that they need. So it's very important to get the financial institution involved immediately.
I'm going to go to another caller. We have some lined up here. Lorraine, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just calling in that my mom, about 2 years ago, was a victim of the old-style door-to-door vacuum cleaner scam. They sold her a vacuum cleaner that wound up costing her about $4,000. So I'll take that off the air.
All right. Thank you for calling in. So people will show up at your doorstep unannounced. They may tell you that you have to repair your driveway, that it's out of compliance, and you will get a big fee fine from the city, these types of things. Or they may try to sell you some services that you don't need. They'll start out small, and then they'll take advantage of the sunk cost bias. Well, you've already put in $50. Your mom put in $200 more. There's types of things that they know what they're doing. They're sophisticated scam artists. And it's very difficult to protect individuals from that, but it is a crime, and we do need law enforcement on the beat. Senator Jose Menendez, when you're talking to the sheriff's department, you're talking to the police department, and they're saying, what are they telling you?
So, you know, in my face-to-face conversations with the chief of police about this, he said that they're completely committed. Same thing with Sheriff Salazar and with our DA, Joe Gonzalez. They're committed. They just need more resources. And so I'm taking this to the next level. And the judge and I have been talking about, you know, our conversations we're going to have with policymakers here as they go through their next budget cycle soon this summer, both at the city and at the county, to be able to allocate the resources that are necessary so that we can prosecute a few of these folks. Because I think once people see that Bexar County is serious about this and they're going to be prosecuting, they'll probably move on, like most criminals do, to an easier place, to places where they may not be coming under such fire. One of the things that I think is important, as people think about this, or if they hear this later, or they hear a replay, and if they don't know exactly where to reach Adult Protective Services, they can always find us in Wonderland Mall, you know, down on the lower level. They can just stop in and tell us, hey, can you have someone look in or check in on my neighbor or this or that? They can always call us, and we'll be happy to address the issue. You can reach us at 733-6604, 210-733-6604, and you never need an appointment to stop in and tell us to check in on a neighbor.
So Judge Veronica Vasquez at Probate Court Number 2, and you deal a lot with wills here in Bexar County, and how do we prevent someone getting to an individual, maybe they're in their last days and they have a sudden change in will, and now there's an argument about grandma wasn't in her in a proper state of mind, or what do they do? Does that become part of what you do?
Yes. It is difficult, I will say. You know, what the court would often look at is if you have testimony from individuals, as well as if you have it documented that grandma had Alzheimer's or dementia and it was well documented with the medical history or whatever it may be, because you do have a lot of these allegations, and without proof to the court, it's very difficult for us to overturn a will, someone's last will and testament, without actual proof that there was some sort of exploitation that was going on at that time and the person was incapacitated or undue influence. One of those things. So if you do see that going on, it does help. It will definitely help the case if you have some sort of proof, a letter from a doctor or someone that can testify that this person was actually incapacitated at the time that they signed this will. And I will mention the powers of attorneys. You did talk about them. That's a wonderful resource in order to avoid a guardianship. There are several agencies in Bexar County that provide free powers of attorneys if you're over the age of 60. One of them is Catholic Charities. The other one is ACOG. They also provide free powers of attorneys. They will also provide elderly individuals with attorneys to represent them in court to probate wills or guardianships, whatever it may be. And another one is Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid.
Got an email from Alicia. I used to work in retail, and there was a lot of training revolving about gift card scams. At our store, we had older customers come in and purchase $500 worth of gift cards. And when we asked about the purchases, they said that they were used as purchased gift cards for paying off tech services. We see gift card scams using for the secret shopper scam a lot. I hear about that a lot, but I really, Sandy Sullivan over at Frost Bank Fraud Management, are you familiar with the secret shopper scam when they get people to try to and get these gift cards and send them off in order to, they're being told that they're being hired to check quality services at retail stores?
Right, absolutely. So yeah, we see this all the time. And so a lot of times people are actually sent checks. They might receive a check for $10,000. They're to keep $2,000, and then they're to take the rest of the money, go to Walmart, go to MoneyGram, send the money off through MoneyGram. They'll give them the information of where to send it.
So there's so many of these types of scams. Let me go to Fernando. I think he's got a good question about that. Fernando, go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering if the city or any of you guys going to do a town hall to address this? Because unfortunately, this might not reach out to everyone that you would like it to reach out to. And that's all I was asking.
All right, Fernando, thank you for the call. So, Senator Jose Menendez.
Yes, we were just talking about that this morning. We've got, we're planning on a town hall. We have them often and frequent. And we've had one on this issue, what was it, 6 months ago or so? And we're planning the next one, and we're looking at April or May of this year. We want to make sure we get the word out, we get it a good location where parking is easy and free. And
sure, we have to share information about how these scams work in order to make people aware. Once you know what's going on, it's harder to fall for it. Make people aware, like something like the Nigerian Prince scam. That doesn't work anymore because everyone knows about it. So we spread the word, help watch out for your elderly ones in your family, in your neighborhood. Maybe you have someone next door to you and just want to help them be safe. I want to thank all of our guests, Senator Jose Menendez, Judge Veronica Vasquez, Probate Court Number 2, Lisa Brown, Texas Family Services, and also Sandy Sullivan at Fraud Management at Frost Bank. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.